Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OFP, please visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to my blog, please dial it up at blueprintforwealth.org, where you can get the latest and greatest information on taxes, estate planning, and business planning. We have audio, video, and written information there for your reading and listening and watching pleasure. And lastly, please read my monthly column in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth, where I talk about tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest as well. Today, we're going to be talking about another new form of entity that is winding its way through the state legislatures around the country, including our local area. This entity is known as an L3C. A low-profit limited liability company, L3C. The information I'm giving you is taken from an article that was written by an attorney at Buchanan, Ingersoll & Rooney here in Washington, D.C. by the name of Elizabeth Carrot Minnig, and it's a great article. She talks about it in terms of adding another trick to your bag of tricks for those of you that practice in this area, and those of you that are interested in nonprofits, this is a particularly new form and exciting form of entity. One of the relatively recent additions to the bag of tricks that Elizabeth Carrot Minnig is using, and I will be using it as well, is the Low Profit Limited Liability Company, or as I mentioned, the L3C. Since the first L3C statute was enacted only in 2008, we're lucky to have a small group of attorneys nationwide with L3Cs in their bag of tricks. Around the country, it's become clear that even for folks who are very familiar with the program-related investments of nonprofits, there are still a lot of questions on how and when to utilize an L3C. So what do you need to know about L3Cs? First of all, where can one be formed? Well, up until April 2008, they didn't exist. And the first state to enact an L3C statute was Vermont. Subsequently, other jurisdictions have enacted their own statutes allowing for the creation of this unique entity. Illinois, Louisiana, Maine, Michigan, North Carolina, and several others have adopted statutes. In addition, there are 11 jurisdictions, including Maryland and Virginia, who currently are considering legislation to add the L3C to their bag of tricks. So where should you form an L3C given that there are so few states that have these available? Well, the state legislation is relatively uniform from state to state so far, but it's not identical. So the first thing you have to do is get your lawyer to review the statutes that are being enacted in each state to make sure that you're aware of the distinctions before you pick the formation in a particular state. An additional consideration may be where you've got relationships, where the attorney has relationships to handle the preparation and filing of articles of organization and operating agreements that are compliant with that state statute. So for example, if you know somebody in North Carolina or you've got a connection in North Carolina who's familiar with this type of statute, then by all means consider that as a possibility for forming the L3C entity in that state. Now, where can an L3C do business? The L3C is essentially a variant on the limited liability company. So it is allowed to be qualified as a foreign LLC in a state that has not yet adopted the L3C statute. Generally, if an entity registers to do business in a state that does not have L3C legislation enacted, the abbreviations LLC will need to be added to the entity's name for purposes of its doing business in that particular state. So if you're doing business in Virginia and Virginia hasn't enacted a statute and you want to set up the L3C in Vermont, you may have to add the letters LLC after the name to do business in Virginia. Now, what are the purposes for which an L3C can be formed? Although the L3C is a for-profit entity, the state legislatures that are authorizing the creation of these entities generally require that the entity have as its primary purpose the accomplishment of one or more charitable purposes that are outlined in the Internal Revenue Code, including religious, charitable, scientific, literary, or educational. So while the L3C can make a profit and distribute the profit to its members, unlike most tax-exempt entities, the making of a profit must be a side benefit to the primary purpose. So when you're first considering an L3C as a potential vehicle for a new project, you need to examine the proposed purposes from the point of whether this will pass muster with the Internal Revenue Service if the client were to submit a Form 1023 to the IRS, which is the long application that any 501c3 has to submit. Because the L3C statute refers to the specific section under the charitable donation provisions of the Internal Revenue Code, you're not alone in determining what will and will not pass muster, but rather in addition to drawing on personal experience and knowing what generally works, you can draw on decades of IRS guidance in this area. There's plenty of rulings, plenty of guidance from the IRS as to what will work and what won't. Does an L3C need a foundation as an investor, a private foundation? Although the L3C was originally envisioned as a vehicle into which private foundations could make program-related investments, a program-related investment by a foundation is not a requirement. In fact, many L3Cs are formed with no intent of ever receiving a program-related investment. Why is this? Because the L3C provides charitable branding for the organization. This has been especially attractive to some public charities that are forming related for-profit subsidiaries. They may set up an L3C to conduct the for-profit activities. Does an L3C automatically qualify as a recipient of a program-related investment? That's sort of a corollary to the other question that I just asked. And the answer is no. There's no automatic qualification. Any private foundation that considers making a program-related investment in an L3C has to analyze whether the investment will qualify under the same rules that apply when it makes any program-related investment. However, since the L3C itself has one or more exempt purposes, it may be a more straightforward determination for the foundation to figure out if the investment will further its own tax-exempt purposes. At the request of Americans for Community Development, LLC, Ms. Minnick, who is the author of the article that I'm paraphrasing here, drafted a proposal for federal legislation that was titled Philanthropic Facilitation Act, which would allow L3Cs or other entities that are looking to receive program-related investments to register with the IRS and require that they file annual information returns regarding the use of any of their program-related investment funds. While this federal legislation is not necessary to use an L3C, it may give a private foundation a more streamlined process of determining whether their investments will qualify for purposes of the private foundation rules. Now, how are L3Cs taxed? Well, if the L3C has more than one member, it's generally going to be taxed as a partnership unless it makes a special election on IRS Form 8832 to be taxed as a corporation, for example. Each member will include its proportionate share of the partnership's income, which is the net of the revenue and expense, on its own tax return, and the IRS will attribute the activities of the L3C to its members. Generally, this will be the same tax treatment a multi-member L3C will want. However, When a public charity is a member of an L3C, the L3C may want to consider electing to be treated as a corporation to shield its public charity member from unrelated business taxable income. Where all the members are exempt organizations, the L3C also might want to consider filing the Form 1023 with the IRS for the L3C to be recognized itself as a separate tax-exempt organization. Where the L3C has only one member, it's disregarded for income tax purposes unless it, again, elects otherwise on the Form 8832. There are two ways for an eligible entity to elect separate entity treatment. You file the Form 8832 or claim exemption as a tax-exempt organization by filing Form 1023. There's another entity that's lurking out there called a B Corp or a benefit corporation. And the questions come up, how does this L3C differ from a B Corp? First, the B Corp is a benefit corporation, which is a voluntarily certified corporation run by a company called B Lab. Any entity that meets the comprehensive and very transparent social and environmental standards of the B rating system and ensures that its governing documents incorporate the interests of employees, community, and environment may become a B Corp. L3Cs, by contrast, are much more flexible. So in summary, the L3C is a new low-profit limited liability company that's out there and available for those of you that want to conduct otherwise tax-exempt type activities, but in a for-profit setting. If you want to know more about these and other entities for forming your new business or exempt organization, please call us at 703-218-2100. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth on Federal News Radio.